Welcome to Pop Culture Roulette for all your pop culture needs. We're America's podcast. All right, welcome everybody. We're back at full strength, so welcome to Old Men Talking About Knee Problems cast.
Oh boy. Life really
Yeah,
comes at you
some,
hard.
you get up into your 30s, or some of us in our mid 40s, and we start talking about the weather and all of our knee problems.
I had knee problems when I was in my teens. Does that count?
That's when I had my first knee surgery. So yeah. But man, the weather. I mean,
No.
it was trying to snow this morning.
Unreal.
It was a little. is April 23rd. But
When
I
we
guess,
recorded this, not when he listened.
well, yeah, but I'm just, to peel back the veil a little bit so that you know when we were recording this and we're like, oh, it's trying to snow. And it wasn't like, December, Of
Not
course, it was trying to snow in December.
here. It was nice and warm in December.
That is true. Not April, however. Apparently, April we are going to be hit with massive snowstorms. I mean, was it not last week, but the week before it was up in the 80s,
Yeah, 81, 82.
wearing shorts, thinking about mowing the lawn.
I wore shorts yesterday. I still didn't care. It's April. I'm wearing shorts. It's a real mystery box.
All right. Well, we've been, well, I've been saying that we're going to do this series for a while now.
Not going to introduce
Okay, I'm sorry. I mean,
us?
I guess I forgot. That is, I'm joined by our sometimes guest host, Jeremy.
Wow. You take
Yeah.
that much time off now? What's going on, everybody? Shots fired.
And we are also joined by consummate professional Justin.
That's me.
Yeah.
Suit and
All
tie
right.
over here.
All right. Well, then, we're going to take a break from the normal format of just random scattershot of talking about whatever. And we have an actual topic for the next couple of weeks. It's come up before. I know we've had part of this conversation in the past, and I know I've stolen this idea from probably Moving Panels, but definitely other podcasts. I did a lot of research, and we're going to talk about comic book characters and how many times they've been played by various actors. I flipped a coin, and by flipped a coin, I mean I went to a website called like coinflipper.com or something like that instead of actually getting a coin.
I was gonna say you couldn't actually take the time to physically flip a coin.
No, I couldn't possibly be bothered. So I Google searched a coin flipping program. And I flipped a coin. Justin won. And so we're going to do three topics. We're going to do the others, Marvel or DC. So Justin won the coin toss, and he chose that we're going to do the others first. So the others would be anything that doesn't fall under Marvel or DC. So even if it's like a Marvel imprint or a DC imprint, like Wildstorm or Valiant or something like that, like we're gonna just classify them in that category.
So it's going to be a real slow burn. It's the finale.
Oh
Or it's going to go terribly wrong, and this will be the end of it.
no, we've the amount of research I put into this, we've committed. We're going all three episodes. It might kill the podcast, but we're doing it. All right, so the rules up front are I've left off animated. It started getting ridiculous. I mean, we'll give a little bit of a preview with like Batman. There's like eight guys that have played Batman cinematically. So if I started including all the animated, we'd be at like 24, and like we'd be doing just an episode on Batman.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to argue like who did one episode of one movie or one episode of this or one episode, and it got too much. I'm leaving off. So like in like say Bat, I'm using Batman as an example because I know he's one that we've had this conversation about with. But in like say Batman Begins, where you have the child actor and then a couple minutes and then it cuts to Christian Bale, I'm leaving the child actor out. We're only going to talk about the adult side of the character, is unless the child actor put on the costume at some point. So like Gotham, like that kid who started as Bruce Wayne eventually, I think I gave up on Gotham, but he was Bruce Wayne for the entire run of the show. So he made the Batman list.
Gotcha.
But obviously that's a cut, that's a preview of a couple weeks from now. But that's just to say, I think there's a couple things on here where there maybe was a kid actor at the beginning and then it quickly became an adult character. Left that off. It's not fair to the kid because obviously we're probably going to prefer the adult anyway.
Yeah, he's not getting his 5 minutes of fame on this show.
Right. And like I said, we're leaving off animated because it just gets too complicated at that point. I feel like this list is pretty exhaustive. I'm sure there are characters that I missed, and I'm sure there are actors that I missed, but I think I got everybody. If we didn't, feel free to comment on Instagram or on Facebook, email us, let us know what we got wrong. Tell us where we picked wrong, and we'll tell you why you're wrong and we are right because we are the ultimate authority on this. So, and some of these conversations are going to be really quick. Some of them are going to be a little bit longer because I'm going to have to explain who the character is and then who the actors are. It has been a little while since I've done some of the research, so I will have forgotten some of it. But here we go. Let's start. We will start. I also didn't necessarily put them in alphabetical order or order of comic book company. I just kind of scattershot at how I remembered or how I thought of it. So we'll start with Green Hornet, the character of Green Hornet. I'm sure we all barely know him and have no feelings about him one way or the other. But the 1940 serials. We have Gordon Jones
Oh,
playing him,
yeah.
followed up by the 1960 TV show that was kind of a spin-off slash partner series to Batman. I know they had at least one crossover episode. We had Van Williams playing the Green Hornet, and then we had that just
Awful.
awful, awful movie that Seth Rogen
Whoa.
did.
Whoa. I enjoyed that movie.
The 2011. Oh. Also, this is more for you guys than the people listening at home. If I've just written a year, that just means movie. Like that's what the year the movie came out.
Makes sense.
Unless it's like when we get to it, there's a broken down list of where it came from. But
All
for the
right.
most, so back in the 30s, the 40s, it's something they don't really do so much anymore. I think because we just do it as limited series now. Or like anthology series, they used to do something called serials. So they weren't like long movies, but they were a little bit longer than TV shows. And I'm not sure how much TV existed in the 40s, or like was widely available. So like you'd go to the movie theater, you'd catch your like an hour or so cartoons, and then you'd get a 40-minute 50-minute movie of Lone Ranger or. You name it, in there and you went on. So you had Gordon Jones, Van Williams, Seth Rogen. What say you, Jeremy?
Well, I really looked up to Gordon Jones as a child. Big fan.
Child of the 40s.
Yeah. We often huddle around the talkies. No, I don't know. I mean, I guess I would be kind of forced to say Seth Rogen, right? Because it's the only one I know.
All right, Justin?
I didn't care for the Seth Rogen movie. So I'm going to go with Van Williams. I've seen a couple reruns here and there on TV, on like MeTV or whatever it was called, and it was tolerable. So that's my answer.
Yeah, I also didn't care for the Seth Rogen movie. I try to remember if I even stayed awake through the whole movie. I know I didn't bother to go back and watch it again. I feel like it might have fallen asleep in the middle of it, or I don't know. I just, it was,
wow.
I enjoy Seth Rogen for the most part, at least as an actor. As a person, not so much, but as a, I guess I'm going to go Van Williams just because at least I've seen, like you, I've seen a couple episodes. I know I've seen the Batman crossover because I watched the entire Batman series, so.
I'm pretty sure Jeremy has that right now.
Ooh, yeah. Almost finished with it, pal.
All right. And then on to Down Periscope.
That's right. What about that Pushing Tin film that's on there, too?
Yeah, that's where about Pushing Tin.
I would say, oh, and these are also characters that were from comic books. Like I brought up Lone Ranger a few minutes ago, and like I'm like, why isn't Lone Ranger on here? Lone Ranger didn't start as a comic book. He started as either a book series or a radio series that I don't remember. So like
wasn't he radio first?
I think so. But I mean, he came from, because I remember researching Lone Ranger, and he came from somewhere else before he was in a comic book, which is, so these are just some of them I might have stretched a little bit and added comic strips, but it was comic book adjacent.
You okay. Make up the rules, so it's up to you.
Okay, now we're on to Flash Gordon. We've got Buster Crabbe from the 30s and 40s serials. This guy is going to show up at least one other time on this list.
Wow.
Buster Crabbe, apparently back in the 30s and 40s, was a very popular man because he was all over the place. You've got Steve Holland from the 1950s TV series of Flash Gordon. Sam Jones from the 1980 movie with the Killer Queen soundtrack, also not reprising, but playing himself in Ted. And then Eric Johnson from what I think was a criminally underrated sci-fi series, 07-08. So that would be my vote, mainly because A1, it's one of the only ones I've seen, and B, like, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good show.
I'm going to go with the guy who showed up in Ted.
Okay.
Because that is the only one I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go in that direction as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those where, like, I wouldn't expect myself, let alone either one of you, to try to hunt down 1930 serials to watch them so that we can debate it. Now, if we ever decide we want to do just an episode on Flash Gordon, then yes, we will try to watch it. But just covering them all, no. All right. Now, here's into a character I think we might have to possibly explain a little bit more. The Phantom. Either of you know who the Phantom is?
Does he wear a mask and purple?
Yes.
A little bit. I know a little bit.
Okay. He is one of the older comic book characters. I don't remember if he had superpowers or not. He's been around forever. They've always kind of used him in comic books. They did. Tom Tyler played him in the 1943 serials. They tried to revamp the character in 96 when Billy Zane played him. It was a big budget, like for 96 budget anyway. Like, they promoted the Phantom. It didn't necessarily bomb, but it didn't necessarily light the world on fire either.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't trash.
I mean, and when I think of Billy Zane, that's the only thing. I mean, I know him from other stuff, but that's what I think of first for some reason. I seem to remember when we had foreign exchange students growing up, One of them had a bunch of Phantom comic books. It might have been in Norwegian, so I probably just looked at it, but
Right.
because I don't speak Norwegian, especially not at that time. And then we had Ryan Carnes play him in an 09 sci-fi. I didn't write series, so I'm guessing just a sci-fi movie that was supposed to be a series that probably didn't go very well.
Sure.
I mean, of those, the only one I know is the Billy Zane version.
Yeah, same
So
here.
I'll say Billy Zane did it best. Riveting.
Oh yeah. Okay, so now we
It
are
gets
on to,
better.
oh, it does. Here's some characters that I didn't connect to each other like I should have because I think I missed. See, now this is where having done the research so long ago, I've forgotten why I did not include Conan. Oh, I know why I didn't include Conan. Now I remember. The
There's only
exact reason.
one.
Conan was a book first before he was a comic book. However, Red Sonja, a character that is closely associated with Conan, was developed for the comic books. So we have her being played first by Bridget Nielsen in 1985 in a movie that I know we've talked about, because it was in the worst comic book bracket, or played by Angelica Bridges in the 97. Apparently, there was a Conan series they made in 97 on TV.
Let's see what she looks like.
All right, Jeremy,
Oh,
what do you got?
okay. Yeah, I think I'll vote for
Angelica Bridges. And I'm going to
Yeah.
go ahead and tell you, I'm going to vote for her probably for the exact same reason.
I don't know what she looks like, but that's where my vote's going as well.
Not that there's anything wrong with Bridget Nielsen, but
But yeah.
Angelica Bridges is, I believe she was either before or after a Playboy model. So,
Gets the vote.
all right. And then we'll skip around a little bit. Now we'll get over to the Crow slash Eric Draven. I had to specify because there are way too many Crow movies. And other than the 94 movie with Brandon Lee, and then they did a Crow TV series in 98, 99 where it was Eric Draven again. Every other movie, the character of the Crow is a different character. So it's not like they're, we can't debate which Crow movie is the best because it's not Eric Draven in every movie. It's just a title that gets passed on. Like it's
Sure.
not. I tried to leave off anything that doesn't have like they have a Crow movie that's coming out at some point, but they don't have an exact release date. And I didn't find whether it was Eric Draven or not. So like it's like well like Hellboy. They've announced that they're doing another Hellboy movie. But it's not official. Like it's official that they claim they're gonna work on it, but like they haven't released a trailer for it or you know. So all right, so
Right.
we have Brandon Lee or Mark Dacascos. Also, there's a lot of names on here that I'm gonna butcher badly, and this is the first one, Mark Dacascos.
Cask, yes. Okay.
All right. So Brandon Lee it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to vote for Brandon Lee as well.
All right, I will vote for him as well.
I don't know if I've seen that movie in its entirety. But I also didn't know there was a TV series.
I really loved him in Laser Mission. That was fantastic.
You want to hear all about the Crow and the series of movies, go ahead and flip over to Moving Panels. Not at this time, wait till it's at the episode, at the end of the episode, and then go find it. Head over to Moving Panels. And listen to our work. Listen when I got involved in the when we redid the worst comic book bracket, and we were forced to watch almost all of the Crow movies and hear about how terrible all of them are. All right, here's a character that I know is near and dear to our hearts and how much we deeply care about this character, which is why I took the time to write down.
Oh
No, I
my
didn't.
God.
This is a character that I skipped. I wrote down her as a main character because she's so iconic as a character, not as somebody that we care about. But I could give a fuck about Little Orphan Annie.
32.
So I didn't write down like Daddy Warbucks or any of her friends. Like I just wrote Little Orphan Annie and moved on with my life. She was played by Mitzi Green in 1932, Anne Gillis in 1938, Eileen Quinn in 82, which is probably the most famous version of it. Ashley Johnson in 96, Alicia Morton in 99, and I apologize to Quinzane Wallace in 2014. That movie being the one that forced Cameron Diaz into a very long retirement. Though I think I heard she's actually coming out of retirement and doing a movie. So about a 10-year retirement of that movie.
right.
Okay.
So am I wrong? Because I don't like musicals to begin with, so I don't care.
Don't like musicals at all?
Very, very rarely can I stand a musical. Like, it has to be
Looks like
something special.
we're gonna have a musical episode coming up.
What about Hamilton?
I can tolerate it.
What about
Hamilton has
Schmigadoon
a
or
couple Ham, Ham,
Chicago?
Ha, Hamilton has a couple strikes against it. As one, I'm not a big fan of that style of music to begin with. And two, it's a musical. Like,
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I've watched it and I can appreciate it for what it is. But at the end of the day, like, it's just not my cup of tea. But like, when I watch a movie like Annie or Chicago, like, it just drives me up a wall when everybody starts singing and dancing, and it just, oh, it is. I can deal with them when they're like supposed to be funny. Like I would probably enjoy Schmigadoon, because I know Justin was promoting that show last week.
Can you say it again?
Schmigadoon,
It's
it's on
Apple
Apple
TV.
TV. I what was that one they had on it's like Fox or NBC a couple years ago. It's like it was like a Monty Python style, like Lord Valiant or something. I don't know. Weird Al was on an episode. But it was funny. So like it was amusing to me. And that I can stand. But when they're trying to be serious, like, I would never watch it because I just didn't care, and it was supposedly just absolutely horrible. But like Cats, like, no. Like, even if they had come out and been like, "This movie is fucking amazing," I'd have been like, "Nah, I'm out. I'm good.
Like
I don't."
Into the Woods,
Hated it.
Little Shop of
Hate
Horror.
Little Shop of Horrors, because it's more comedy. I can put up with it, and the music is done in a silly manner. But like, what was
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
is again tolerable.
Singing in the Rain.
Never watched it.
Sweeney Todd.
That one was all right, but that was so dark and twisted and Tim Burton-y that,
All right. Let's see where we stand on these.
There's a difference for me in musicals and then like movies about music. So like Walk the Line or
Get hard.
Get Hard. Yeah. The like
Hard.
I know there's music in it, but it's music like not the entire cast doesn't like break out into song and dance and start doing jazz hands. What was that one that just came out that Spielberg directed? West Side Story? No, I'm good. I don't. Yeah, I don't
Grease.
care. Grease, never seen it, never will.
Wow.
I loved that soundtrack when I was a child. I used to jam out to it all the time.
I'm aware of a couple of the songs, but like I think my sister was even in Greece when she was in high school, but so I
A
might have
big budget.
seen
She was in a big budget movie when she was in high school.
no in the high school play when she was in high school. I can't remember if it was Greece or Little Shop of Horrors. Maybe both, but I don't know. I seem to remember watching a home recording because I didn't live with my sister very much in high school. So I think I was home for the summer and they're like, "You have to see your sister in this." And so I watched it. But like, again, like things that you're willing to do for your family that like if they're like, "Hey, we rented West Side Story," I'd be like, "I'm good. I'm just gonna go
Gotcha.
home."
So
I'm
I'm gonna go stand in the road.
gonna just gonna I'm out. Like, I'm good. All
So that
right.
Grease musical does not get the stamp of approval.
No. No. Well,
Okay.
I mean, maybe from two of you. I mean, but from the it's not getting the full triangle.
Well, I mean the one that your sister was in that you had to sit through, that's not getting the stamp of approval.
That's been like 20 years now, so I don't even remember it, which is why I can't remember if she was in Grease or Little Shop of Horrors. But
Okay. Either way,
and
would that recommend?
as I'm not sure that she listens, I don't know if we'll ever find out. All right, so
Write
anyways,
in and let us know what
yeah.
play it was if you
Does
listen.
anybody have a preference or want to vote on the
Oh,
six
yes.
different actresses for Little Orphan Annie?
Yes.
Okay.
I've actually now I got one locked and loaded here for this
All
one
right,
because
which one do you want to vote for?
Ashley Johnson is always going to be my Annie.
Okay.
That's the same
Ashley
one that
Johnson
gets
for life.
my vote.
Okay. I didn't know we were Ashley Johnson fans. Now
I mean, we're related, so she has to get my vote.
you're related.
Are you really?
No, that's my niece's name.
Oh. Ashley
Oh man, that's good.
Johnson.
Yeah, I grew up with Ashley Johnson. I mean, she was behind the television screen.
In the 40s, we're watching Flash Gordon.
No, this is a more recent one because I watched this version of Annie in school.
Okay,
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see if this is the same Ashley Johnson that I was thinking of.
When she sang "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow," it gave me a new hope for life.
Bet your bottom dollar.
Right. I mean, the riveting podcasting while I'm okay, here we go. We're up
Well, I'll
to
tell you what, Quinn Van Zandt Wallace also got my she was a runner up.
Oh, okay. So that is the Annie. That is the Ashley Johnson I was thinking. I would vote for her just because she was in the Avengers and Blind Spot, a bunch of stuff more recently that I enjoyed. So
Very nice.
she'll get my vote just because I enjoy her work in future references. Okay, here we go. Now we're gonna get I hope that I did this right when I put this series here because I figured we'd get a lot more fun out of this conversation. The Addams Family. This
Do-do-do-do.
took a little bit of work to put together. And I did realize that after I did it, I didn't put it in order the way I intended. But we're smart people and we can figure it out. So in 64, the Addams Family moved from the comic strips over to the TV series. They did a special in 77 where they all reprised their role. In 98, this is where I messed up. I should have went 91, 93 when they did the two Addams Family movies. And then 98, they did another movie, followed up by a TV series where they've changed pretty much all of the actors from the 98 movie into the TV series, although it was supposed to be the same. And then we have Wednesday, where you have a lot of the characters over. Have either of you taken the time to watch Wednesday yet?
No.
As it is a audio podcast, I will have to tell you that Justin is shaking his head no.
That's true.
I do. While I was writing this, I was like, I'm pretty sure I know. I was trying to guess on how the two of you would vote, and I feel like I know with Adam's family. But I'm not
Yeah.
sure. I mean, I know for a fact where at least one of you is voting, but we'll get there. So we're going to start with Morticia. So in 64, she was played by Carolyn Jones. The 98 series, she was played by Ellie Harvey. In Wednesday, Catherine Zeta-Jones. In the movies that everybody really, at least of our generation would know more from, would be Angelica Houston. And then in the 98 movie that I didn't even know existed was Daryl Hannah.
All right.
So,
I like the, is that the black and white TV series?
Yes.
Who's that one? I like the Morticia in
Car
that one.
Carolyn Jones.
Yes.
Okay.
I like that one. I like that series. It's a good series.
Yeah, I'm
I think it's
almost
one
done
of
with the
them.
monster, so I was thinking about starting over or starting with Addams Family, but I wasn't.
All right. She gets my
Yeah,
vote.
I agree with Justin, actually.
Oh, see, that's not where I thought you would be going with it.
What did you think I was gonna pick?
I thought for sure you'd be going Angelica Houston.
I almost did.
Runner up.
Yeah.
All right. However, I think I will be going for Angelica Houston. I there now in the future I could flip over to Catherine Zeta-Jones, but I feel like she barely was in Wednesday. Like she only was in like two, maybe three episodes, and like barely in the episodes as it was. So as the series moves on and she gets more screen time, it might flip, but for right now, just because I love those Addams Family movies, I mean, they came out at a 91, I was just starting high school, so yeah. All right, and then so now we're at Gomez. We have, and this is where I don't even have, I'm gonna tell you where Justin's voting on this one. We have 64 series with John Astin. We have the 98 series with Glenn Tarantino. Wednesday, he's done by Luis Guzman. 91 is Raul Julia. And then 98 is Tim Curry.
All right, where am I
So
voting?
you're voting John Astin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I. However, it's one of those things like I'm going to vote for John Astin as well because, when I think of with Gomez Adams, that's who I think of, even though Raul Julia did a really good job. And I mean, Luis Guzman and Tim Curry are great, but you just can't overtake John Astin for me.
Yeah, I would agree. I've not seen the Tim Curry or Luis Guzman one.
Again,
Great in Community, though.
again with Luis Guzman, in so little of Wednesday, it's hard to give him the vote over, over somebody like John Astin, who was really, really good.
Right, that's who you picture when you think of.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with you guys.
All right. And then I went with, I don't know why I did it in the order that I did, but then I put Uncle Fester. So we got Jackie Coogan. Michael Richards apparently played him in 98, which is really hard to picture, which means like he was like doing Seinfeld while also doing the Addams
Adam's
Family.
family.
Fred Armisen, Christopher Lloyd, and then Patrick Thomas.
Would you like you? I think you know where I'm going with this one.
I think I know where you're going with this one as well. But I want you to say it.
I'm going Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, I was frozen today.
The original series probably would be number two. The guy I don't know from the Black and White show.
Jackie Coogan.
Yeah, he'd be number two. He's runner up.
Yeah.
I want to say Michael Richards.
All right. I believe I will also be going with Christopher Lloyd. Because I mean, it's Christopher Lloyd.
Right.
All right, so Wednesday, we have Lisa Loring, who played the original Wednesday. Nicole Fuguera, Jenna Ortega, Christina Ricci, okay, and then Nicole Fuguera was the one person who did the series and the movie. So she got two bites of the apple of Wednesday.
Two bites and still doesn't get voted number one.
No, because I think I know where we're going with this one, but I'm not sure. There could be a surprise vote here. Jeremy, why don't you kick us off with this vote?
I'm voting Jenna Ortega.
Interesting.
Yeah. How
Not
did
where I.
you not know that's where Jeremy was going?
Well, until he said what he said just a second ago, I thought for sure he was going to go Christina Ricci, but then, all right.
I would have until she came along. But if I didn't know Jenna Ortega was a person, then it was going to definitely be Christina Ricci. But had we done this like in the original run of Pop Culture Roulette, it would have
Yeah,
definitely
okay.
been. But I mean, I haven't even seen Wednesday, but she's amazing.
All right.
Oh my, I think mine's pretty obvious.
Christina Ricci.
Oh yeah. That was like the childhood crush when I was a kid.
I now it's probably not fair to vote the way I'm going to vote, but having seen most of these, I think I'm going to vote Jenna Ortega. I think she just did something with Wednesday. Like, she brought a different energy to the character. I mean, Christina Ricci was great, and I do love those movies, but Jenna Ortega did just, if I had to vote equally amongst the two, like that, I think that's who I would vote for, because I did thoroughly enjoy Wednesday. I thought it was a really well done show and do highly recommend it.
Should we all try to do the Wednesday Addams Dance right now to go
No,
viral to promote
no,
the
no,
podcast?
no.
I mean, I've seen so much Christina Ricci stuff, so that's where I'm sticking.
I mean, that's a close second for me. I mean, followed very closely by
I don't even know. I'm that number one.
followed very closely by Lisa Loring from the original series. All right, now we're on to Lurch, Ted Cassidy in the original series, John DeSantis in the 98 series, George Bercia in Wednesday. Oh man, why do I do this to myself? Karel Strukin,
Huh.
Strykin from the Christina Ricci movies. Also, oh, he also got two bites at the apple of Lurch. He got to do it in the 98 movie as well. I think I'd go Ted Cassidy for the same reason I went with John Astin. Because when I think of Lurch, I think of his "You Rang."
That is very iconic.
Yeah. Close second with the one from Christina Ricci's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it up to that dude. Just Karel
Oh, you're going Karel Strukin?
Yeah, I am gonna vote for
Isn't
him.
he the same guy that was in Men in Black?
It's entirely possible.
I think he was one of them that gets killed by the Roach in the first movie.
I did not do a lot of research into what other things these men have done or women have done.
I think he's in Men in Black, the original.
All right, now we're on to Pugsley, played by Ken Weatherwax in the first movie.
Classic.
Brody Smith in the first movie, in the 98 series. Isaac Ordonez for a hot minute in Wednesday. Jimmy Workman, like, they barely use Pugsley at all in the Wednesday series. Jimmy Workman in the Christina Ricci movies, and then Jerry, who I apparently decided to add an extra R into, Jerry Mossing in the 98 movie.
I'm going with Weatherwax.
Okay.
It's the best to say.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
All right.
I've not seen Wednesday. I have no opinion on that movie show.
Going to go Jimmy Workman just so, because I do love those movies. Okay. All right. Now we have Grandma.
Oh, Grandma.
Grandma, who was played by Blossom Rock in the series, but June Jones in the special, or vice versa. I don't remember. I
Blossom
didn't write it down.
Rock. What kind of
Betty,
name is that?
probably a stage name. Betty Phillips in the 98 series has not appeared in Wednesday, so no actress there. Played by Judith Malina in the 91 movie, Carol Kane in the 93 movie, or Ally Ghostly in the 98 movie. So a lot of women have played grandma, but in the same basic, so
The one from, what is it, 91?
that would be the Judith Malina one.
That one.
Okay.
I remember her in there more than the other one. Although she's good in the TV series.
I don't even remember this character.
I remember her. I remember her stirring the pot in the kitchen talking to
Yeah.
Fester in 91.
Okay, yeah.
I'm gonna go Carol Kane, Grandma, in the 93 movie, because Carol Kane amuses me in pretty much everything she's
But
ever been in.
that was my second thought, but I don't remember much of her in there other than being in like the, is it like a motel that
I
they're
don't
in?
remember. I'm just voting because I like Carol Kane.
Yeah, that would have been my second guess, but because I think she's good too. Yeah, it is.
Carol Kane. Carol Kane.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your vote? Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And then now we're on to a little bit more modern character. A British comic book series, Judge Dredd. You've got Sylvester Stallone in 95,
Oh.
or Carl, I am the law.
Carl Urban.
Or Carl Urban in 2012.
He's greedy and lazy.
Man, this one's a tough one for me because I like both movies, but they're both so different. I mean, the Carl Urban one is more gritty and realistic, and man, he's so good at that. I mean, he's just, but the Sylvester Stallone one is just so silly.
And Rob Schneider's in it.
Right.
I'm going Stallone.
Fuck yeah. Stallone.
I'm a big Stallone and Arnold guy, so Stallone gets my vote.
You know what? I'm going to go Carl Urban just because. Now, this one I put on here more because I didn't know how to handle it and I didn't want to break down every character. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We have three movies. We have three live action movies of the rubber costumes. And we have two live action movies with the C just completely CGI characters. I didn't know how to break it down because like they're different people in the acting in different voices, not acting. I didn't really know what to do. So we're gonna let Jeremy, not Jeremy, we're gonna let, yeah, no, Justin. I think that's the better choice here. I'm gonna let Justin kick this one off.
All right. Rubber Costumes, Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. Just because it's a far better movie. And then if you're gonna go CG, I would. God, they're both pretty bad. I might go with the second one. Because that at least has Stephen Amell as Casey Jones in it. Does he make the list? Casey Jones?
No, I didn't know how to break down the turtle characters past the turtles because it was hard to figure out who came from the comic books, who came from the cartoon series, who came,
Okay.
it was,
Help, bugger, dude.
Turtles 2 is the best one. 2-1,
So
three.
you would vote the rubber costumes over
Over
the
the
C
CG one,
over the
yes.
CGI? Okay.
Turtles 2 is the best of all the movies.
Okay. Jeremy, how are you vote? You prefer the CGI turtles or the rubber costume turtles?
Rubber costume over everything, yeah.
Which
All
movie?
right. All of them.
One, two, or three, which is the best one?
All of them. Oh. No, the first one.
Oh.
And then when they were on tour doing music, those rubber costumes were amazing.
I will also vote for the rubber costumes. I was a
Which movie?
the first one. I don't I'm sure I don't have it anymore, but I know at one point I had the Vanilla Ice lead soundtrack that I listened to probably more
That's
times than
in the second one.
because that was the second one. Okay, but
Yep.
I know.
That's when they fight Tokar and Rezar, and Super Shredder destroys the dock.
But yeah, I like there's a charm to the rubber costumes that the CGI doesn't have. But yeah, and I didn't I should have probably broke down more characters with like April O'Neil and Casey Jones and stuff like that. But again,
The first April O'Neil, because Megan Fox can't act.
yeah.
The second Casey Jones, because Stephen Amell does a good job. Super Shredder, played by Kevin Nash, would probably get my vote for the best Shredder.
Apparently, we're gonna need to do just an episode on
That's
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and we'll let Justin do that one. All right. When we'll get over to Hellboy, we've got Ron Perlman in 04 and 08, or David Harbour in 2019.
both completely different movies. Ron Perlman for me.
Yeah, I think for me, I would ask David Harbour to politely lay down because Ron Perlman's about to take a big steamer right on top of you.
I will also vote for Ron Perlman. I thought David Harbour did a very good job as Hellboy, but like both the Ron Perlman Hellboy movies are just so much better. I mean,
Yes.
I think the 2019 Hellboy movie was okay, but it definitely doesn't hold a candle to the other two.
I
And
agree.
then the only character that apparently was in both of them, and came from the comic books was Trevor Bruttenholme. You had John Hurt in the first couple movies, and then Ian McShane in the other one.
I don't even remember which character that is.
Kind of like the father figure to Hellboy,
Let's go with the second one because I can't remember.
Ian McShane.
Sure. I can't remember who that character. I was thinking David Hyde Pierce's character.
Yeah.
That's the only other character I remember.
No, and he, because he was only in the one, he was only in the one Hellboy series. So, like, he played the, he was in both movies, but he didn't show up
That's
in the Ron Perlman movie. So,
the only other character I remember.
okay.
And then that sand Nazi guy from the first movie.
All right. Okay, moving on then.
Comic books have been around for almost a century, and in the last two decades, we've finally gotten to see many of these characters brought to life in movies and on TV. On the Moving Panels podcast, we discuss movies and TV shows based on, inspired by, and adapted from the world of comic books. Join me and my guests as we discuss both the good and the bad from Marvel, DC, and even some of the lesser-known comic book companies. Learn what is and isn't from the comics, as well as our nerdy review of the movie or show. New episodes drop every Monday, and you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. So join us for Moving Panels, and I'll see you on the other side of the page.
Buck Rogers.
Jeremy's losing it.
Are either of you aware of Buck Rogers?
Yes.
I'd like to actually cast my vote for that last one because I didn't get a chance to do that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
John Hurt. May he rest. God rest his soul. I better pour one out for him right now here live.
All right. I'm going to vote for John Hurt as well just because I like the movies better. All right. Okay. Anyway, moving on then. Buck Rogers. Buck Rogers in the 25th century or something like that. You've got Buster Crabbe once again showing up being Buster Crabbe. He played him in the 1930s and 1940 serials. Apparently in 50-51 there was a TV series where you had three different, they just kept changing actors. Robert Pastine, Earl Hammond, and Ken Bibbs. The big problem there is they only know that they've only found one episode of the entire run of the 2 years that it was on TV. Like, it's just gone.
Huh.
Like, that was back in the, it's a problem like Doctor Who has had, where like they, back in the day, they didn't think that anybody would want to watch reruns or ever have an interest in watching it again. So like they'd show it the one time, maybe show it again, you know, later on, but then they put the tape in a closet somewhere and the tape would either deteriorate or they'd run out of space in the closet. So they'd throw the tapes out or they'd grab the tapes and record over it with new stuff. So there's just, there's a large section of, and it's an episode that I think we've talked about doing like Lost Media.
Yeah.
You know, this would be in that Lost Media section where, like, I know with like Doctor Who, like they kept find, like they found large chunks of episodes like in a closet in a BBC office in like India or Australia or, you know, somebody's closet because there was a big Doctor Who fan somewhere and they had taped them somehow and then, you know, didn't tell anybody and then they passed away and then mom and the kids were like, hey, what's the, what are all these tapes? Hey, these are all those lost Doctor Who episodes that people were looking for.
That's shame.
So as of right now, though, only one known episode of the Buck Rogers series with all three men. So I don't even know which one of the three men we could actually watch if we wanted to watch it. And then Jill Gerard. Now this is the one that I remember, the 79 movie and the 79 to 81 series, because they was, that was on syndication or a repeat when I was a kid, and I loved that show. It was a fun little, you know, I don't remember when I watched it, but so that would be my vote because I've actually seen that one. And the whole reason I put it on the list was just to be like, oh man, good memories.
All right. That one will get my vote as well because of your memories.
Oh, sure. Let's give it a clean sweep.
All right. And then now we've got the Spirit, who is one of the oldest, if not the oldest comic book character. You've got Sam Jones in 87. And then Gabriel Macht in 09. We did cover the Spirit very briefly on the worst comic book adaptations. I don't think the movie got very far in that bracket because it's at, not terrible. It's not great, but it's not terrible.
Right. Right. The second one.
Gabriel Macht?
Okay. Yeah, the newer one. I've seen parts of that one. I'm not seeing anything with the original.
I Some of these I didn't even know existed until I was doing the research on this. All right, now we're on to Sheena, Queen of the Jungle. She was the first female character with her own title in comic book history. You had Irish McCullough playing her in the 55 series.
Classic Irish.
Tanya Roberts playing her in 84, also known as Donna Pinciotta's mom. Or Gina Lee Nolan in the 2000 series.
Let's go with Donna's mom. I don't know anything about this character.
This is a movie that I was forced, not forced, I say forced, I actively chose to watch to do the worst comic book bracket. It's not good. There's a couple of good sections in the movie.
Which movie?
The Tanya Roberts movie.
Donna's mom?
Which is a little surprising given that it was a rated PG comic book movie, but sure enough, there it is.
All right. I guess my vote.
Yeah. Clean, sweet, baby.
All right.
God rest her soul. Pour one out for Tanya Roberts here live.
Okay. And then as I was writing this all down, I was like, man, I don't know how much we're actually going to care about this. So some of this is going to be really fast. But for some reason, I got really involved in figuring out Archie Comics characters. Actually, I think there's a reason why I did, but it wasn't for Archie. It's for the next Archie comic series listed. But we have Archie himself, played by Dennis Bowen in a 1976 movie. Christopher Rich in a 1990 movie called Archie to Riverdale and Back. Or KJ Apa in the just great CW series called Riverdale.
I've never seen any of these.
Okay. So we don't necessarily have to vote here if we don't want to. We could skip it.
Yeah. I don't know. Isn't one of them played by one of the Sprouses?
Yeah, we'll get to him in a second.
Okay. I know he's in it.
Yep, I know that guy too.
We have Betty, played by Audrey Landers in 70 in the Audrey Landers first, then Lauren Holly.
Sure, like the Ann Landers.
Sure, why not? Lauren Holly, who is also in Dumb and Dumber, and then Lily Reinhart in Riverdale. Honestly, I assumed that one or both of you would just vote everything Riverdale. Mainly, I'm looking at Jeremy.
All right, let's take a look.
Yeah, I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah, Lily Reinhart for me, personally, I've just become a fan.
I mean, if I had to vote, I'd probably vote Lauren Holly just because she was in Dumb and Dumber.
Who is she in Dumb and Dumber?
The girl that Jim Carrey was trying to get.
The one who
trying to get with
the one who brings back her briefcase.
Yes.
All right, she'll get my vote.
Okay.
Nice.
At least I know who she is.
I'm happy that she's moving on. Do all the winners go into a steel cage match?
Yes.
At the end?
Yes.
Right. Poor Christopher Lloyd. He's not in shape for this.
All right. Now we have Veronica. We have Hillary Thompson, Karen Coppins, or Camila Mendez.
I don't know who any of these people are. Don't know.
I'm going to be going probably for Camila Mendez in just a second here.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe my vote is definitely going to be for that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. So it looks like she's going to win just because only one of us is going to be voting in this bracket. then we have Jughead, who is played by Daryl Murray, but Daryl is spelled weird. Sam Whipple or Cole Sprouse, one of the twins you were talking about.
Isn't Mr. Whipple the guy who tells you don't squeeze the Charmin?
Yes, but I don't think that's the same Whipple. Maybe it's Mr. Whipple's son. I don't.
Class.
I don't know. Give it to the twin.
All right.
Or the Charmin guy.
The Charmin guy. That's a tough one because I do like all these different versions of Jughead.
I do like squeezing the Charmin.
I'll give it up to that Cole guy.
Okay.
Sprouse.
All right. So now you have Hiram Lodge. They
Hiram.
not in the first series, but in the 90 movie and then the CW series, played by James Noble or Mark Consuelos.
Who these people are.
Mark Consuelos. I believe Ryan Johnson had a really pleasant conversation with him once.
Right. There he was. He had a bit of a thing for him, I think. You know, a man crush, I guess, would be the right word. So I guess just for, you know, because of his tangential relation to Tell 'Em Steve Dave. Okay. Then you have Hermione Lodge, who's Veronica's mom, played by Amzie Strickland in the movie, in the first movie, not in the second movie, but played by Marisol Nichols in the new series. Marisol Nichols was also in CSI Miami, if that helps you.
No, it doesn't help me.
Okay.
Which CSI had, was it Ted Danson? Tony Danza? Ted Danson
That
was in it?
was yeah, Ted Danson. That was the original one.
Oh, well, in that case, I got no vote.
I
Okay.
don't know who these people are.
Let's see. I'm sorry, AMZ. Please don't.
Probably. Well, I don't know.
Please
It was
don't haunt you.
that was
Okay.
in 76, so she could very much still be alive.
I'll check. Let's check. Oh
But
boy. We can continue. I'll keep looking it up as
okay, all
we.
right.
It's just
So, but
a little.
probably Marisol Nichols then. All right, and then we have Reggie, who's either sometimes Archie's good friend or bully. We have Mark Winkworth in the first movie, Gary Kroger in the second movie, or Charles Melton in the CW series.
I'm going to go with the guy who owns Roundies. I don't know who these people are.
Right. Yeah, I you know.
Go with Chad Kroger.
Oh, IMZ Strickland is not with us.
Oh, okay.
So please, sorry, IMZ, I hope you do not haunt me.
So do we have a vote on Reggie? Do we care at all about Reggie? No? Okay. All right.
Oh, no, we don't.
All right. Now we're on to the other one of the other Archie comic series. We have Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Thought maybe you're going to go with Archie versus Predator.
No, that hasn't made it to live action yet. So,
Season six of Riverdale.
we have the 90s series and Sabrina the Teenage Witch are the Netflix, the 2017 series. So we have Melissa Joan Hart. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm voting straight 90s series for all three, every character.
I was going to say, I think this is going to be a 90s clean sweep here.
We have Melissa Joan Hart or Kiernan Shipka.
90s.
90s, okay.
Yeah, no contest.
We have the Aunt Hilda. We have Caroline Ray or Lucy Davis.
90s.
All right.
I was thinking of that episode when she's trying to get, is it her, like her visa or whatever it is? And then she goes Canadian where she says they went oot and a boot again and again. I always think of that episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've well documented my love for the 90s, Sabrina the Teenage Witch series.
Miss Joan Hart in general.
I'm just saying I like the TV series. I'm not going to get bogged down into who or why I might enjoy that series.
Hey, we feel that way about the Addams Family movie.
So, is it a, is are we
It's
just
it's 90s.
okay, all right. Then we have Aunt Zelda, held played by Beth Broderick, or Miranda Otto.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's not
okay.
90s.
And then we have Harvey, played by Nate Rickert or Mark Ross Lynch. There, all right. So there was, I just did an episode not too long ago of a show called Totally Rad Christmas, which is mainly set, supposed to be set about in the 80s Christmas, but he's a very what. Kind of like when we say we're pop culture roulette and then we just talk about whatever we want, kind of what he does.
And as we do.
But I was doing the episode and he had another guy on there from a different podcast. And after we were done recording, we were just, shooting the shit for a little while. And they were both talking about some of this, quasi celebrity guests that they've got on. And so I was asking them how they did it because I'm like, well, I can't get most of these people to respond. And they're like, well, just email them. I'm like, what? Like, just email? Yeah, just email them. So I was like, part of me was like, why don't I start on the lower side of Sabrina the Teenage Witch and start getting some of the people who were like just in a handful of episodes and like seeing if we can't like eventually work our way up to, the coup de grace. So I was like, well, what about like Nate Rickard? Like he's not doing anything. But then I found out he's on Cameo and it's like $90. So I'm like, there's no way he'd do an episode of a podcast without us having to pay him.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, never mind. Maybe I'll start with a different show or then even further down the list, Z-list celebrity. But I'm like, I'm not at the point where I'm going to pay $90 to have a 5-minute conversation with the guy.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I'm not paying guests to come on the podcast. Maybe if we get further along, and we have an actual advertising budget. But as of right now, if you want to be on the podcast, you're doing it for free
Wait,
because,
I'm not getting paid.
no.
Bye, Justin.
All right. Now we're on to yet another Archie series. Josie,
What about Salem?
I couldn't find any reference to Salem being in the Netflix series or being a talking cat
Okay, I
in the
didn't know if he was
Netflix.
in anything.
Yeah. So I think he maybe was just a cat. I don't know.
Okay.
It, but it, again, it would have been Nick
Ninety,
Bakay. Yeah, it would have
nineties.
been 90s. Yeah. Maybe Nick Bakay, although he's still doing stuff. I don't know. Maybe we need to hit that level of celebrity who's either high enough up that they're willing to do podcasts for free just because that, they're, and are low enough that they're just desperate to do podcasts for free. That mid-level where like they can charge on Cameo, like, I think we just need to avoid them. Okay, now we're on to Josie and the Pussycats.
I know nothing about this.
Okay. Did have so you've never seen the 2001 Josie and the Pussycats movie?
Yes, I have.
Recommend it. It's actually funny. Like it's a more of a spoof on like teen comedies and like that kind of like it's way more subversive than I think it bombed because I don't think people realized what they were getting when it came out, where it was
Okay.
making fun of that kind of stuff. And then they redid it on the CW. They had them on Riverdale, and then I guess Riverdale spun off into something called Katie Keene. So you had I'm just gonna say we're probably not gonna vote here because I don't want to take the time to, well, just say it's 01. But you have Rachel Lee Cook playing Josie or Ashley Murray, Rosario Dawson playing Valerie Brown or Haley Law.
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, and I'm guessing we feel the same about Rachel Lee Cook. Melody Valentine played by Tara Reid or Ashante Broomfield.
Oh.
Tara Reid. She's great in those sci-fi movies.
Alex Cabot, the manager of the band, played by Paolo Costanzo or Lucien Laviscount.
I couldn't pick anyone with names you can pronounce.
No, why would I? Alexander Cabot, his sister and also rival to Josie, Missy Pyle, who you might know from a bunch of stuff, but she was in Dodgeball. Or, like, it's one of those, like, if you saw her, you'd be like, that's who that is.
Okay.
Or Camilla Hyde. Or Alan Mayberry, the boyfriend of Josie, Gabriel Mann, or Chris McNally. All right, let's skip on to something that I think we've actually seen, and I think at least two of us enjoy. The Tick. You have the 01 TV series with Patrick Warburton, or the Amazon series they did 2 seasons of with Peter Serafinowicz.
Patrick Warburton.
Yes.
The Amazon one's not bad, but Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I enjoyed the Amazon series, but Patrick Warburton's take, I think he did a much better job of playing that, dumb, but, kind of fun, more dumb funny than just dumb. I don't know. I just like Patrick Warburton's take on it better.
I just like Patrick Warburton better as an actor.
That too.
I'll vote the same way because I did not see the Amazon one.
All right. And then David Burke, playing Arthur. In the first series are Griffin Newman in the new series.
The old series. I think this might be a sweep for the old series here.
Okay, all right.
Jeremy hasn't seen it. It's in the new series.
Now we're on to Richie Rich. You've got the 94 TV or the 94 movie, the 98, which might have been a TV movie, but a 98 movie, and then the 2015 Netflix series that I seem to remember Jeremy giving us a breakdown on a Media Pod Smash one time. Okay. So you've got Macaulay Culkin, David Gallagher, or Jake Brennan, who, and that will be the last time we talk about the 2015 series because none of the characters other from that series showed up in any other movies.
Unbelievable.
Macaulay Culkin. Isn't the other kid the one that was in Little Rascals, if I'm picturing the right guy?
I'm not sure.
First of all, David Gallagher and Jake Brennan should be ashamed of themselves for even trying to one up the great Macaulay Culkin. And I hope it haunts them for the rest of their lives.
I swear that was the one that was in Little Rascals.
That Netflix one is just awful. It's horrible.
I remember you talking about it, but I couldn't remember your feelings on it.
Yeah, it sucks.
I think there's a reason why it only had the one season. I'm not even sure it got a full season.
The kid was an annoying little twat.
No, I'm sorry. There is a second character, but it's a little bit further down the list. All right, so Richard Rich, Richie's father. You got Edward Herman in the first movie or Martin Mull in the second movie.
Richard Rich, I forgot that was his name. That's good.
I mean, I remember liking the first movie as a whole better than the second one, but I like Martin Mull better as an actor. So I'm going to give it to Martin Mull.
Okay.
I'm going to say Edward Herman.
I also am going to say Edward Herman.
That movie in general is better, but I like Martin Mull's stuff.
I do like Martin Mull, but I also like Edward Herman. He has a particular gravitas about him that I think he brought to that character that probably shouldn't have been in a movie like that, but, you know, whatever, he was. So, all right, then we have Regina Rich, Richie's mom.
Richie, Richard, and Regina.
Yeah. You have Christine Ebersole in the first movie, or Leslie Ann Warren in the 98 movie.
We're back to the first movie.
Okay.
First movie.
All right. And then now we're on to Cadbury.
Remakes.
Yeah, the butler, right? Remake. Yeah. I don't know which came first. Like, did the cream eggs name themselves after the Richie Rich character, or is Cadbury named after something else that the Richie Rich character, like, you know, used that name for?
I'm pretty sure it's named after something else.
Like, it you know, if we were, you know, from English, it would be like, oh, that's a royalty or something.
Yeah, the Duchess of Cadbury. And her creamy eggs.
Oh, I guess I should probably say the name of the actress. I just realized I didn't
say
that.
Yeah, we were waiting.
Jonathan Hyde in the first one and Keane Curtis in the second one.
First one, Jonathan Hyde.
Yeah, I'm going to say Jonathan Hyde. God rest his soul.
Is he?
Well,
I don't think he's dead, buddy.
Let's find out.
I feel like I just saw him in something not too long ago, but I've been wrong before and I will be wrong again. So...
Oh, you're probably right.
Okay, well, while you're looking that up, we'll get to Professor Keenbean. You had Mike McShane in the first movie or Eugene Levy in the second movie?
Eugene Levy.
He's still alive.
For no other reason than I can picture what that guy looks like. And he's hilarious.
All right. So the one character that doesn't come from the first movie. Oh, and then there was a character called Irona, who was played by Don McLeod in the 94 movie and then Brooke Wexley in the series. So a complete swap, two entirely different. I mean, same character, same name, but, two very, very different actors. Cause wasn't Brooke Wexley like a robot in the Netflix series, I believe.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't know much about Don McLeod, but I'm guessing Don McLeod does not look anything like a Brooke Wexley.
Right.
Yeah, probably not.
Very polar opposite. Don McLeod. May
Okay.
God rest his soul.
Sure, why not? We'll just go for that one. All right, and then now on to a character that I in 90 when this movie came out, he was they were still running his comic strips in the character of Dick Tracy. Have either of you seen the Dick Tracy movie from 1990?
Negatory.
What's this?
He wears the yellow trench coat, and the yellow hat. He's got the wristwatch that's a communicator.
Okay.
I loved that movie. I watched it all the time. I still in the ba and since my parents have been moving and getting rid of all their stuff, getting rid of all the stuff and giving me back my stuff, I know it's in the basement. I still have like two complete sets, at least two, maybe three complete sets of the Dick Tracy trading cards. Because back in the day, and they might still do it now, I just haven't looked recently. They used to make trading cards for like movies that were like kind of borderline kid-centric movies. So like,
Anything to make a dollar.
or they do like the Panini sticker books,
I've got some Freddy ones for
yeah.
the sticker
So
books, but
I have I w but I was so into Dick. I had a bunch of the Dick Tracy action figures. I loved that movie. So I'm gonna vote for that one. But we had Ralph Byrd playing him in the 30s through the 50s with various different serials in the TV series. Morgan Conway played him in 45 and 46, and then Warren Beatty played him in 1990. But I
I'm not voting in this category.
okay.
I gotta go 90s.
Yeah. I just I was looking it up recently trying to because I wanted to watch it again because I was thinking about it, and nobody seems to be streaming it right now, so I'm either gonna have to just break down and find a copy that I can purchase or wait until somebody finally picks it back up to stream. And then his girlfriend Tess Trueheart seemed to be the only character that they used in the originals or in the new one. She was played by Anne Jeffries in the serials and then Glenn Headley in the 90 movie. So
I
just
don't
because
know
I
anything about.
All right, and then I have one character that, as I was doing research for this, I came across that I added to the list, but I didn't re-up the spreadsheet that I sent you guys. Roy Pulsifer from RIPD was played by Jeff Bridges in 2013, or Jeffrey Donovan in the 2022. Somehow they made a sequel to RIPD, but it was a sequel slash prequel.
Interesting.
Yeah, it went to Netflix. Apparently, I don't know. I didn't like RIPD all that much. Again, another movie that we did talk about on the worst. A lot of these movies seem to be showing up on the worst comic book bracket. I would say Jeff Bridges just because first off, it's the only one of the two that I watched because I didn't like the first one enough to be bothered to watch the second one. But
I would have to second that exact statement.
I did like Jeffrey Donovan from Bird Notice. I just, Jeff Bridges,
He's not a bad actor. Just never seen it because the first one was so bad.
All right, so there we go. There we have it. We have the others. That is our list. Like I said, probably not exhaustive. I'm sure there's at least one person who might listen to these episodes who will be able to correct me on a few characters that I left off. Like I said, I probably could have done a lot more work with the Turtles. Definitely could have done a lot more work with Annie, but who cares?
But who cares?
I do have an overarching reason to do this series. Should I hold on to it until we've done all three episodes, or do you want me to tell you what it is now?
Well, there's a big peg master.
Like there's a kind of a reason behind it, other than just I thought it would be fun to talk about for a couple of weeks.
Well, what do you think, Justin?
I'm always up to just hold on to that
Okay,
idea.
all right.
That's my opinion. Get Jeremy's opinion.
I can wait. I can
Okay.
wait.
So when
Can't
we
hardly
get
wait.
so when we get to the end of the DC episode in a couple of weeks, I've got there's a reason that we're doing it, and I will reveal it. Hopefully by then I'll have actually. I'm kind of glad you guys said you wanted to wait because I didn't actually flesh it out or write it down. I do have the Marvel one typed out, so I'll send that to you either later tonight or tomorrow. And I still have to type the DC one out, but I figured since I got a couple weeks, that one, the DC one, I do wonder if we're not going to be splitting that up into 2 weeks. I don't know. That one's going to be big.
Right.
So we are going to skip our normal segment to end the episode because I think we're already at a pretty good length of time right now.
It's hour 15, hour 20.
Yeah, so we're probably going to skip most of our normal news segments and what have we watched for the next couple of weeks. So store it up, really kind of maybe write some stuff down. So in a couple of weeks when we're back to just the regular episodes, we can talk about that stuff.
Did you guys talk about that Ninja Turtles trailer last week?
We talked about it one of the last times you weren't on.
Yeah, a couple of 2 3 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
Would you
Yeah,
like to give
we.
your opinion quick?
Well, I mean, it was very short, unless we watched different trailers. But I watched one that came on before the Mario movie, and like, I don't know, it looked really different and different from everything else that they've done. But interesting.
I believe I referred to the trailer as hot garbage.
Yep. It was called trash. Pre-teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, we neither of us were really thrilled with it.
Yeah. That seems to be the general consensus.
There was a lot of people online who were like, "Oh my God, this is gonna be the greatest ever," and I was like, we watched two different trailers then. Well, then I guess if you were the guy who wrote Little Orphan Annie first and were hoping that I would give you some sort of love, I just remember that Stupid never walks alone.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and listen to an 80s flick flashback podcast once in a while, you could miss it. Do you love movies of a certain age? Do you miss the days of VHS tapes, VCRs, and the video rental stores? Does the thought of another 80s movie being remade seem inconceivable? My name is Tim Williams. I'm the creator and host of the 80s Flick Flashback Podcast. On each episode, I'm joined by guest co-host to discuss one of the many movies released in the 1980s. We share our first-time watch memories, our favorite scenes, and even learn some behind-the-scenes stories about the cast and crew along the way. New episodes are released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting platform. So make like a tree, get out of here, and go listen to an excellent episode of the 80s Flick Flashback Podcast. The ad is over. Go home. Go.